Well, we're blessed this morning. How many of you were here when Charlie was here 2 years ago? Oh, a whole bunch of you. How many of you heard Charlie more than one time, one or two or three times? How many of you have never heard Charlie? Charlie and I have been friends for probably 25 years. We met years and years ago at the Canadian Prophets Council, whatever it was, a bunch of prophets. And there we were, and I saw this tall guy, about 6'4" or 6'5", with bright orange hair, just walking back and forth in one side of the room. I thought, who the heck is that guy? And then Stacy Campbell was leading it at that time, and at one point Stacy turned over and said, Charlie, what are you getting? And Charlie comes out with this, boom, 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 boom. And I'm like, whoa, okay, I don't know who he is, but he's got something. And since that time, we started doing things. We've done a number of conferences together. Charlie did the first ever Canadian oil conference here. And then did another one 10 years later. And just Charlie is a seer. He shares stories about being taken to heaven, about the things that God has shown him. Traveled all over the world. Been to Indonesia 30 times, 40 times, something like that. A lot of times. Lives now in Abbotsford, and because of all that wonderful snow that we had, his plane was delayed from Friday till Saturday, so he and I got to bed at about 1:30 last night when the plane finally got in. So I don't know how many of you normally stay up till 1:30. Is there anybody that stays up? Oh, really? You do? But I have just told Charlie to, you know, come and share what... Charlie carries something, and so we have him come here every so often, just because of what is in his heart and what God uses him for and what God brings through him. So you're going to be in for a treat. Remember tonight, too, at 6 o'clock. It's just a straight-up revival service, and he may share some of this, but some of the same things that the Lord's been showing me in the last month, God's showing Charlie. You need to know this. Charlie's one of the guys that I go to when I have spiritual questions that I don't know what to do with. I phone Charlie and I go, Charlie, I just saw this in the spirit. What is it? He goes, oh, yeah, you got to do this and this and this. So would you welcome Charlie Robinson, please?
Thank you very much. It was about 25 years ago that I met this interesting individual who pastored a church. You still have that up. Remember the week before that you'd come up with the logo? I had the word about the ships from Tarshish coming in. And I literally all week I felt that the ships of Tarshish would come first. That's what the Bible says. It's talking about actually about wealth, blessing. So my name's Charlie. I was going to come with Shirley, but we had a two-day wait for our flight. So she ended up staying home. And God is good. Father, I want to thank you for this morning, every word. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And many times, the word that proceeds out of the mouth of God proceeds out of your mouth before other people hear it. So you get to carry the word of the Lord. Isn't that something? You get to speak the word of the Lord. I want to say something. I might get choked up a bit. I've had, my mom died about a year and a half ago. It was amazing. You say your mom died, it was amazing. She was 86. And she hadn't got saved for so many years. We moved back to British Columbia. And we lived there for 9 years in British Columbia. I said, God, what do I do with my mom? He said, sing a song. And I sang, he said, every time before you hang up, sing a song. Her mother died young, 51. Her sister, my aunt, died at about in her 40s. So she had this thing, you know, how can there be a God if... You know, my mom died young and my sister died young. And I sang a song to her, and I doubt I forgot. I called her many, 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 many times. And I would sing this song, When We All Get to Heaven. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. And my mom ended up in a home. And so all I could do was phone her. I'm in BC. She's in Vermont. And I would phone her, say, Mommy, you praying every day? She says, praying every day. Every day I pray. Every day I pray. She says, and after a while, she goes, are you praying every day? I'm like, oh, man, I better get to it here. And so toward the end of her life, I can hear faith. I can hear faith in people's voice, whether they're in front of me or not. I can also hear doubt. I can hear religion. But her faith was growing, and then she had a couple of hours to live. I didn't know it. And I phoned her up. My sister was with her in Vermont, and I was singing, "When We All Get to Heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be." And then about 6 hours later, my sister said, "By the way, Charlie, Mom passed away." But I knew she went into heaven. And it's my mom. I love my mom so much, but I knew she was in heaven. And when you're heavenly minded, it changes your perspective on death and life and everything else. And so I phoned my intercessor, Gowrie. My intercessor, Gowrie's 82. She's still a nurse. She lives in Maple Ridge. She got saved along with Patricia King and Jeannie Rasmussen at the same time in the same hospital. They were all nurses. She's been my intercessor for years. She is amazing. She takes 5 trips a year to other countries. She sees the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the deaf. Deaf, blind. She sees it all the time. She goes on medical missionaries. So she's an intercessor. But because you call yourself an intercessor, don't hide behind the fact, "Oh, I only pray." I have an intercessor. She doesn't just pray. She does the stuff. So do the stuff. We're all called to do the stuff. Anyway, I said, "Gowrie, my mom passed away." She goes, your mom's in heaven. I know she's in heaven. I said, "I know." She said, "I want to tell you a story." She said, "I used to work on the ward." Well, Patricia got in so much trouble, Patricia King, because she tried to raise everybody that died. I mean, everybody. And she wasn't quiet. She was like, "In the name of Jesus." She would just go after it. She got in trouble so many times for trying to raise the dead. They did raise the dead some of the time. But every now and then, somebody popped out of a coma that shouldn't have popped out of a coma. And so Gowrie said I was a bit quieter because I worked with the coma victims that were laying there. And I would hum hymns over them. And she said one lady was in a coma for 4 months, and for 4 months I just hummed a hymn. I forget the hymn. But when she popped out of the coma, she told the doctor, "I want to talk to that woman that was singing over me every day." So she went to her and said, "You know, I'm the nurse, and my name's Gowrie." She said, "You sang that song over me for 4 months." She goes, "No, I never sang it. I hummed it." No, I heard all the words," she said. "These are the words." So I hung up. My sister phoned me 30 seconds later. That was with my mom. She said, "Charlie, I forgot to tell you, when Mom died, she was humming that song that you sung over her all those years." You guys, nothing is too difficult. I mean, my family, when I got saved, I tried to get them all saved, then I pushed them away for about 20 years. I'm like, "You're not Christians, you're a bunch of heathen." That's what I did when I got saved. I mean, I was saved, I knew I was saved. I said, "Dad, you're not a Christian." "I'm not a Christian." I mean, he just flew a bolt. But how my family has got saved, one after the other, after the other, after the other, all individually. Some I had dreams what I had to do. I mean, saved. My sister, I would go to Vermont, and I would just tell 2 hours of glory stories, and I'd think, they're either going to run out of the room or run to God. Every kind of miracle you can imagine, can't imagine, what God can do, the big thing, how big God is. And I just would lay it up. Well, my older sister kept coming. So one day I said, "Don't you find this strange?" She said, "I mean, this is out there." She goes, "Yeah, but you really believe it." So I really believe it. And so then a few months later, I said, "You need to get saved." I phoned her up. I led her to the Lord on the phone and led her to the Lord on the phone. She came to Christ on the phone. I saw her go from dark to light. She died a year later. She had brain cancer. She was supposed to have 6 months. She had 2. I talked to her 3 hours before she passed away. I have never experienced talking to somebody with so much faith. It almost knocked me off the phone, and I'm in BC. And she was talking about God and talking about going to heaven. When she passed away, I danced. I know that's weird. Why would anybody dance? She's in heaven. And I knew she was in heaven. I could see her in heaven. These are realities. It's not all one day in the by and by. Listen, when you're in heaven, you don't want to come back. But I want to share, the reason I shared all, I want to share about my brother Brian. Did you hear about my brother Brian? My brother Brian, who's invented a number of notable workout machines all around the world. He's worked with hundreds of professional athletes from the NBA, NFL, MLB, lots of United States colleges. He trains. He's a trainer. Rob Gronkowski would phone him. All these different players would phone him. He'd show me on his phone. But he was a hard nut to crack. I could not figure out a way to get him saved. Nothing would come to me. So he moved to BC a couple of years ago. And just so you know, I'm not a redneck. Most of you are, but I'm not. Well, we're in Alberta, right? And we had a lot of guns. I'm from Quebec. And we had a lot of guns, a lot of pistols, a lot of guns, a lot of rifles. We go, oh, shoot, we had 410s and 308s and 306. I don't know how many O's, lots, and lots of guns. And so Brian and my other brother had that. You know, they like, when they were kids, I shot a porcupine when I was 14. I said, that's it. I shot a living thing. Forget it. But my brother moves out to BC, and then COVID happens. And he's as redneck as you can get coming from Quebec. A great guy, like the youngest player ever signed in the CFL. He was 16. They didn't let him play. He was too young. He had to play in junior football. He was an amazing athlete, amazing kid. But COVID comes, so I'm talking to him. He's all depressed, and he's ready to fight because he lives in BC. He's going to move up into the mountains, take his guns, and they're going to come for me. He figured they're coming for me, and I'm going to do them in, and that'll be the end of it. I mean, how many guys you know like that? It's my brother. But he phoned me last Christmas. He said, my girlfriend gave me a Bible. I said, a what? Yeah, I'm reading the Bible every day. I said, you're reading the Bible every day? Yeah. He said, Charlie, because I learned something. He said, I looked, how can I go up and live in a hole? And he says, I realized something. I want to change everything. I'm the one that has to change. I have to change. He says, I want to change everything and I want everyone else to change. But I realized something. I need to change. So he said, I started looking. He said, you know, the only people doing anything and standing up to COVID are Christians. What? He said, are Christians. And within about 3 months, he and his girlfriend, whatever prison that guy was in or wherever he was, the guy you mentioned, he went and stood in solidarity, like, you know, this guy's doing something. I don't know who he is. And then he said, all these guys from Alberta that are Christians, he said, we've taken a dozen trips this last year. He phoned me again at Christmas. He says, I'm a Christian. He says, because Christians are the only one doing anything. And I'm sitting there going, oh, yeah, yeah. This is coming from a person that wasn't a Christian, who was looking for somebody standing up, who was looking for a voice and trying to find out how he could change. And he said, I came to the conclusion, the only way to change is to get close to God, because the only people I know are doing anything are close to God. Think about that. God used you guys in Alberta to get my brother saved. He's as saved as you can get. I talked to him this Christmas. All he talked about was God. He sat down all his kids. He's got kids in their late teens. And he apologized to all of them for not talking about God, for not leading them, you know, in the way of God. And so now they sit around. You know what they talk about? God. And people from Alberta. So anyway, praise God. Thank you, Alberta. Lord, thank you. So just in case you wonder what these things do, my brother got saved. My brother got saved. Because people in Alberta took a stand. Going to, you know, I was going to say, put that in your pipe and smoke it, but we don't smoke pipes. That's only for people that... Anyway, let's go to... That's a new book in the Bible that I just put. No, that's tongues. Proverbs 3. I don't usually do this. Now, tonight we're going to have could get messy in a good way. We're going to have a revival meeting. We're going to have an impartation night. I'm going to lay hands on everything that moves and doesn't move. I want to, because I just had a dream. I need to lay hands on people. And start laying hands on people and releasing an impartation. And God's given me an anointing to release impartation, which is literally an oil. It's an anointing. And what's an anointing? It's an oily substance with a healing property. In the spirit, there is an oil that you can have. There's an anointing that you can have that breaks every yoke. How many yokes? Every yoke. Now, at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But the Bible says the anointing breaks the yoke. So we're going to pray for that anointing that breaks the yoke. What kind of yoke? You're going to find out what kind of yoke. There's more in you than what you think. There's more in you that will change the world than what you'll think. There's more in you that will change the government. You'll never have to speak to one government leader. All you'll have to do is release the anointing. God will do the rest. See, we have to learn how to trust in the Lord with all of our hearts. So I'm gonna read this. For some of you, you're like, okay, this is like kindergarten Christianity. No. This is my foundation block scripture on how to walk with God and how to stay away from that spirit of religion influencing your thoughts and causing you slowly to move away from trusting God into and away from faith, and you don't even know it. You can still go to church. You can still sing the songs. You can still read the Bible. You can still go to a Bible study. But unless you're trusting in the Lord with all your heart, you've lost ground. You have. It says this, trust in the Lord with how much of your heart? All your heart. Lean what? Not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. When you got saved, if you are saved, the Bible says there is nowhere in the Bible where it says that your brain had anything to do with your salvation whatsoever. All my family members, it wasn't their brain. They actually got out of themselves and realize I need something outside of this file cabinet, because this file cabinet called your brain or your own understanding does not have the keys that you need, does not have the abilities you need. Now, we need brains and we need minds, but when it comes to the things of God, we must lay those down and learn how not to trust in them, because when you got saved because you believed in your heart. That's how a man gets saved and a woman gets saved and a child gets saved. You believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth. It doesn't say you believe in your brain, because it's not about believing. Believing in your brain is not how it works, because with your brain, you got two eyes that you can see. But faith is something you cannot see. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things that are not seen. Why am I using faith? I love this scripture because it says trust in. I'm not going to be teaching long, but I want to teach this part, because otherwise, if you don't get this, you won't get the things that your mind will not understand tonight. You'll go, what happened? You got to follow God. You trusted in the Lord. That's how you got saved. You trusted in the Lord with all of your heart. That's how you get saved. The only way to get saved. And when you trust in the Lord, you get saved. But immediately after, the enemy will try to steal the seed. How? By using your own understanding. And by you going to a church, not like this, I'll tell you, because they don't teach that. But most, and I'm sorry to say most, the majority of churches to a degree will teach you to lean on your own understanding. Over time, it's very subtle. Unusual things happen. That's not God. Don't go to that church. Don't believe that stuff. Well, wait a minute. How do you know? Have you prayed? No. It doesn't make any sense. Not supposed to make sense. When you start leaning on your own understanding, you start leaning away from trust. When you lean away from trust, you're leaning away from faith. You're going to be leaning on one or the other. And I've learned how to lean on God. Do you know what trust is? I wrote a note here. Trust is the heart application of faith. It's the heart application of faith that you can't go wrong. You can have faith, the Bible says, and not have love. But when you're trusting in God, you got love. It's a combination of love and faith working together. In fact, the Bible says this is the only two things, a faith that worketh by love. When you trust. Now, Jesus never trusted any man. You notice that? He said he didn't trust man because he knew it was in the heart of man. He loved people. But when you come to God and you get saved and he comes into your life, woo, and the Holy Spirit comes into your life and you become a new creation, what happens? You stay on that path. And that means there may be things that will happen that will be strange to your mind. Don't lean on your own understanding. Here's the other thing. Do you acknowledge God in every area of your life? It says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. But do you know what many people do? They only acknowledge him in the big ways. The little ways, they forget. Or strange ways, they don't acknowledge him. And then you eliminate God in your life in areas, and you wonder, why don't things happen? One of the number one things God has called the church in Canada, and I'll tell you why I'm saying this. We are called to release miracles, signs, wonders, every one of us, not just me, Craig, whoever comes up here, every one of us is called to release the kingdom, the power, and the glory through miracles, signs, and wonders. They that believe will do what? They that believe, cast out devils, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the leper. They that what? Believe. No, Jesus did. No, they that believe. And then listen to this. People say, well, we talk too much about miracles, signs, and wonders. Are you kidding me? 95% of the church in Canada does not believe in miracles, signs, and wonders today. 95. And don't tell me those 100-year-old churches that say, well, we still believe. No, you don't, because you never do it. Well, we believe it, you know, we can believe it. No, you don't do it. You only believe what you do and do what you believe. If you're not doing it, you don't believe it. If you don't believe it, you won't do it. 95, I'm telling you, and I'll tell you why. God told me that in a dream, but I already knew it. I preached it for like 10 years. I say, we need more miracles, more signs, more wonders. Talk about it more. Tell people more. Oh, that charismatic church. I've had people say, oh, those people that, you know, all they want to do is wave their flags and talk about the glory. I said, there's not enough of them. We get so dignified. We get saved. Then churches try to make you dignified. Are you kidding me? I lost my dignity a long time ago at the very first conference. I started doing this. I never did it before. I said, God, why am I doing this? I mean, I think there was over 1,000 people. I'm going like this. I'm like, why? Rick Joyner was sitting there. Bill Johnson was sitting there. All the who's who in the charismatic zoo. They were all there. Pardon me. In the who's who in the church. And I'm in that zoo too, so it's okay. It's a good zoo. I shouldn't have said that. Strike that from the tape, please. So is everybody, and I'm going like this, and I said, God, I'm not looking very good now, right now. He says, I didn't call you to look good. I called you to make me look good. And I thought, oh, man. And he said, compared to you, I look pretty good tonight. And I'm thinking, oh, man, how can I look? I said, God, I never signed up for this. He said, yeah. He said, you just didn't read the fine print like a lot of Christians. They signed on the dotted line, but they forgot to read the fine print. And then he says, you even prayed the prayer. I said, what prayer? I'm doing this. He says, you prayed the prayer. I said, what prayer? God, my body belongs to you. Do whatever you want with it. I said, God, not this. He said, too late. You already prayed. I'm telling you, we judge, but we don't acknowledge God in a lot of stuff. That's why we miss out. In all your ways, acknowledge him. I get on my knees all the time. You can ask my wife. I've learned I don't worry about money. I've never worried about money if I know how many years. I started getting my knees every time I got blessed. Every time. I don't care if it was $2 or if it was $10,000. I don't care if it was in the middle of the airport. You can ask my wife. I'll get right on my knees and thank God. Then I have dreams, and God goes, keep doing that. Because I'm acknowledging God in all my ways. Like Craig says, you got to open up your mouth. You can't just thank God like, you got to say, thank you, Lord. And that, thank you, Lord, one time. He doesn't even hear it. He's like, what'd they say? You got to keep thanking him. In everything, give thanks, right? For this is the will. In everything, give thanks. Rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. Well, they get too rejoicing. No, again in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. Oh, they get so emotional. No, you don't. When you're full of joy, joy is not an emotion. It's a fruit of the Spirit. You can have as much as you want. Against such, there is no law. Of those 9 fruit of the Spirit, you can have as much as you want. But the religious devils don't want you to have any. They want you to be dried up and a human prune. If any of this offended you, have a drink from the Spirit. So we learn how to do this. Take a drink from the river. If you keep drinking, you'll start seeing the way you're supposed to see. Right? If you can't, the more you drink, the more you'll see. Some of you in the world, you drank so much, you started seeing things. Same in the kingdom. You drink and you'll see. That's in the Bible. Taste and see. What? That the Lord is what? Good. Thank God for my brother Brian. I mean, he's preaching to me. I'm sitting there going, that's amazing. And he's so soft, you can feel. Isn't that amazing? All because of Alberta. Who would have thought? I have a book, and I don't have too many because I only brought one bag. I flew Flair. That's why I'm 2 days late. But no, I flew Flair. Usually, no, I'm serious. Usually Flair is very good. But 2 days later, here we are without my wife. But anyway, I'm here. So I brought a few books. They're called Glory Stories. John, we've heard a lot of glory stories. Or John's heard a lot. He's got his own glory stories now. That's these young bucks. They come up and that's it. They got more than you. So you got to write a book. Otherwise, you'll forget it. my doctor, a year ago. Some of you don't believe in doctors. I mean, a doctor wrote some books out of the Bible, but anyway, don't worry about it. He retired at 80, and he was a Sikh man, so wore a turban every day. God says, that's your doctor, the nicest guy, the most honoring guy. So I gave him my book and his wife. I said, here, read it. They read it in a day. They loved it. They said, when can you come over to our home to pray? Well, COVID came, but we're going. Shirley and I, last week, we're saying we got to go over to these guys and pray. So my new doctor, he's a young guy. He's a Sikh doctor. I gave him a couple of days ago, gave him my book. And this is like glory stories. I mean, this is out there. This is talking about God doing everything. I mean, I think it's got dental miracles. It's got all this other stuff. What we do, where we go, but how it lines up with the word and all this stuff. And so I gave it to this doctor. I said, you know what? I warned them. I said, this book's really out there. Because I know they Google me because they talk to me for a while. Then they come back and oh, yeah, okay, yeah, you do stuff. You get the chances, yeah. I said, this is really different. He goes, you know, it's good to read a different, somebody that believes different than you. This is my doctor now. I'm telling you, people are more hungry than what we think. The devil says they're not. They are. If you give them the right food and you're not leaning on your own understanding, but you're trusting in the Lord with all your heart. That's to prepare you for things to come. Because a lot of people throw out the good things of God because they don't understand them. Or before they ever see it, they're talked out of it. I went to a Bible school, I won't name which one. I went to a Bible school in 1976. And I remember sitting there in theology class. Now I just got saved. I didn't know what theology was. I didn't have a clue what theology was. So I asked one of the other guys, because I was playing basketball, but this is, what's theology? Theology? Oh, yeah. What they didn't know. They're like, well, the study of the word. They understand the word, like the Bible. Yeah. Oh, this should be dry. So anyway, I went in. And so the guy, he's getting going, and it was really, I enjoyed it. Right up until he said, young people. He was about 70. He had this great big bony finger. Young people. As we know it, and of course, all those guys have been in the same denomination. You know, a lot came out of Germany and Holland and that kind of, yeah. And I'm not saying who. Awesome people. I got saved through one of them years ago. And he goes, young people, as we know, miracles, signs, and wonders have passed away. And all the kids, well, I'm brand new. I never heard that before. I raised my hand. I didn't know any better. But I wasn't leaning on my own understanding because when he said it, that didn't register here. It didn't even register here because it wasn't leaning there. It didn't register. Don't let it register. It's a lie. A lie. Doctrine of demons. And I put up my hand. Oh, my friends, their faces went red. Oh, no, Charlie, here we go. I said, when did that happen? And he looks at me. I said, I haven't heard that happen. I haven't read the whole Bible, but I never heard that happen. When did miracles, signs, and wonders stop? Then I forget where it was, some scripture. And when this passes away, and knowledge, but the top, the top, the top, the top. And that was it. He was going to go on. I went. He goes, yes. I said, that didn't say that. What are you talking about? That didn't say miracles, signs, and wonders. I want to hear miracles, signs, and wonders passed away. So for the rest of the semester, he preached at the far end of the classroom and never came over. And if I raised my hand, he ignored me. But you know what? I learned something. I got to find out for myself. So I started thinking, how could miracle signs and wonders pass away? Can you imagine miracle signs and wonders in the book of Acts? Not just Jesus mentioning the book of Acts. And then not just disciples, other people are doing stuff. And so all of a sudden I'm thinking, okay, wait a minute. If John was the last disciple, which he probably was because he was the youngest, can you imagine all of a sudden you're having a healing ministry? And people are getting healed, delivered. And all of a sudden somebody comes in, stop the meeting. No more miracles, signs, and wonders. John died. It's over. Oh, we'll pack it up and go home. I guess that's the end of miracle signs. How stupid is that? Stupid. I'm making a point. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Because what God is about to do, you want to be on board. You don't want to be on the other side of the train track. Because some will. Are you ready? We're going to go a little bit deeper. So, somebody giggled. Usher. Get that. Remember that it wasn't here. I don't think it was here. It was a big church. No, it was in the States. And this lady was heckling me. She was like the happy heckler. But she was, I'd say something, da, 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 and she'd always add something, and I was losing my train of thought. It wasn't like vicious or anything. She thought she was funny, and she wasn't. And the usher over here, about 6'8", a huge big guy, and she's like, da, 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 da. And I'm like, okay. And after about the fifth or sixth one, I said, Usher, do you think you could bring this woman? I was sort of joking, but just for her sake, do you think you could bring this woman out or to the back? He goes, that's my mother. I said, that's okay. She can stay heckle away. Heckle, heckle, heckle. Bring Jekyll if you want. We're doing good. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's how you make it through. That's how you make it through. Okay. You know, I had hair like that guy had hair up here. I used to have hair like that, big hair. It wasn't as dark. No, I'm serious. It was an afro, but it grew this way. I had curly hair, grew this way. It was like I had a bird's nest on my head, an eagle's nest. Just so you know. The trauma I went through that brought back feelings of. Okay. So here we go. I had a dream about 4 months ago. No, not even. About 3 months ago. And all the politicians in Canada were standing from one end of Vancouver Island all the way to Newfoundland, all standing. They all had black or charcoal gray suits, men and women, standing. So here's the government. And it wasn't like, oh, the government. You know, it wasn't, no, it was the government. And here we were, the church, on the other side, it was like, we're here, and they're like, as close as that wall, right across Canada, and now I'm part of the church, going right across Canada, and we're looking at the government. They're looking at us, we're looking at them, but then I look down, and they're standing on about a 4-foot to 5-foot demonic black foundation that went from one end to the other that they didn't know they were standing on. And the demons and wicked evil spirits that were in there were all doing one thing, laughing and mocking the church in Canada. Laughing and mocking so loud, laughing and mocking to the point where they were absolutely secure that they weren't going to get moved. Do you know what they said? They said two things. You stupid Canadian church. That's what they said. And they would point up, you're trying to get a hold of these guys up here and to change this up here. They're standing on this, us. You don't move us, they don't move. You can do all day long do that. And he goes, and it's because you Canadians don't believe in miracles, signs, and wonders, and it's the only thing that's going to move us out. And so we ain't moving because you don't believe it. And you won't do it, so we ain't moving. We don't move, that doesn't move. I'm looking at that going, do those demons know I can understand them? Like I'm thinking, they're giving a lot of information away here, right? just saying. And then God always comes from behind. This is Father on the right-hand side. He goes, Charlie, he says, unless the church moves in miracles, signs, and wonders, they will never, ever move the government in Canada to the place it's supposed to move. Now, God didn't say one bad word about any government person in Canada, not one. And the whole dream had nothing to do with all those bad government guys, not a one of them. Nothing in the dream had to do with all those guys on the government and what are they doing. With none of it. Because that wasn't the source. That was the voice to what was going on in this demonic realm. And I knew, and God said to me in the dream, Charlie, you know 95% don't believe in miracles. He told me this. And he goes, you know what? 2% actually really do, but less than 1% even moves in it on a regular basis. You don't believe that? I live in the Bible Belt in Canada. You can figure out where I live. We got about 100 churches. 5 of them might embrace the miraculous. Now listen, here's the deal. And all of a sudden, for some reason, Sammy's standing around here, and just a couple of us, we move out in something unusual. It was something, not your usual message. It was, the glory realm just popped down. The glory realm came. And when we begin to move in the glory and the miraculous and the signs, dental miracles are signs. And they're a miracle. A healing can be a sign, but not necessarily. Jesus turned water into wine. That was a sign. And we begin, and just a couple of us begin to move. This oil came out. An oil from heaven came out and went right into this demonic area. And I'm like, man, that was quick. And I told you, that was within the week. Where I don't know who thinks what of politics here. I'm not from Alberta. But Daniel Smith, within days, because God told me, I saw in my dream, leaders are going to stand up and say things we've never heard before. It would shock everybody. The next day or 2 days later, she gets up and goes, you know, the unvaccinated are the most persecuted people in Canada. When did you ever hear that before, ever, by any politician like that? Probably not or very few. And all of a sudden, things begin to just sedge here. And I'm like, how did that happen? God goes, miracles, signs, and wonders in the same way. And this is what God said, in the same way that God drove Pharaoh out of Israel, out of Egypt. Pardon me. Israel out of Egypt and changed Pharaoh's heart. That's the only way it's going to work. How did Moses do it? Miracles, signs, wonders. Now, it got pretty scary, and it will be. Before we know that, the book of Revelation. But at this point, we're about to see God do something. We're about to see people stand up that haven't stood up before. I can't tell you the one thing. I was listening to the sports station. And when that guy started talking, I thought, what is going on? God goes, miracles, signs, and wonders. Because that week, we were at Abundant Life, so about 4 months ago. And Sammy, how many of you know who Sammy is? Many of you know Sammy. I mean, he's just on fire, you guys, and moving. He phoned me up the other day, and the things that happen, and the people that get out of wheelchairs, people that have strokes for years get healed, and all sorts of amazing things. Well, that night, it was packed from wall to wall to wall with a lot of young people. I only had one thing, dental miracles. I'm going to do it, whether it's this morning, tonight, whatever. Dental miracles. How many have never heard of a dental miracle or seen one? Anybody here got one? Because I know there's a couple of people that have got a dental miracle here. I don't know if you're here. I think it was a father and son got one a few days later. But here's what happened. I prayed for dental miracles in Abundant Life that night because I could feel the glory realm. And I said, I want you to look into each other's mouth. I said, you're not going to because you're Canadian, but that's okay. God's going to have mercy. The young kids will do it. And the women. You go to Asia, the women, they bring flashlights in those compacts, and they're just looking right into other people's mouth. They believe it, so they get them. I'm talking about you come to a meeting with no gold. You leave the meeting with gold crowns, and you don't feel it. God puts it in there. We've seen hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, you guys. And people go, we tell them, go to your dentist. So anyway, I said, because you're Canadian, I said, but somebody's going to get some tomorrow, and somebody's going to get some on Tuesday, because that was their Sunday. So on Monday, sure enough, this lady phones. I got a gold crown. Three of my fillings turned gold. But the next day, and how we heard of it, we don't even know who the woman is. So, well, Eve does, but we didn't know. She gets 8 gold crowns in her mouth. She has no gold in her mouth, 0. She gets 8 gold crowns and 7 fillings turn gold. All at the same time. First thing she does, go to your dentist. That's the best thing. She goes to her dentist. So she goes around all day on the street. Say, I want to show you something. She's got her dental records. Look here. And they're like, yeah, you got gold teeth. Yeah, I didn't have any on Sunday morning when I woke up. I went to church Sunday. 8 crowns. Count them. So some random lady, have you seen it? Some random lady that we don't know takes a picture, puts it on her Facebook. Well, the thing goes viral all over the place. And we find out up from this other lady who we don't even know, saved or not, we don't know, who met this lady on the street. And that's what this lady does. There's two things that give people the hardest problem to believe in. One is dental miracles. Because people, well, I don't know, maybe they have, and sometimes they may have. I say, listen, don't get too excited. Go see your doctor. Make sure you didn't have any before you came to the meeting. And the other thing is when you raise the dead. You can raise the dead. I mean, they can be as dead as dead, but people doubt. Because Jesus said, what happened to Jesus? He showed himself to his disciples. They saw the nail prints. He appears to them. And it says, and the disciples believed, but some doubted. Wow. We're going to see the dead raised. Stop doubting. Sammy raised the dead. Dead. The woman was dead. How do I know? Jennifer phoned him up in the morning. Jennifer from Lighthouse, the pastor, said, you're going to raise the dead in church today. When he went to Sylvan Lake. So he's sitting there preaching, and the woman's sitting there. She's gone. It helps when the associate pastor is a doctor, a medical doctor. So they didn't phone. They didn't phone the ambulance right away. They're praying for her. He's praying. He's like, she is gone. They had an ER nurse right beside her. She's gone. What should we do? Let's pray some more. So they kept praying. She wasn't responding. And you start to get cooler, right? So he's like, okay, we're going to call. Well, they called the ambulance. And God goes, Sammy's telling me, Dad, I'm in a meeting. And a woman died in my meeting. This is terrible. God goes, what are you going to do about it? Well, they call the ambulance. Keep praying. Keep praying. For what? That she comes back to life. Pray that she comes back to life. So they prayed. Sammy said, all of a sudden, there was a wind. Everybody felt it, and you could almost see it. It came in like this. It went like this, and it went right over the woman. And she goes, I want to go to Dairy Queen, she says. First thing comes out of her mouth. Remember when Jesus raised that girl from the dead? What did he say? Give her something to eat. And she wasn't that happy. Because she said, I was going toward the gates of heaven. There were the gates of heaven. I was heading for the gates of heaven. I saw loved ones that had gone on before. And as I'm heading, and she said, I was not aware of this. They said, well, what was it like? It was like a picture stopped. Sammy's preaching, and that was it. That's all she could see. And then she's gone, and woo, there's the gates. And then she hears the church praying. And all of a sudden, woo, she gets sucked back in her body. She wants some Dairy Queen. And she's like, I was looking right at the gates of heaven. So her son has the best post. I read her son's post. I cried. Because he didn't mention any names. That's the best thing. He didn't mention any names. He goes, my mom died in church Sunday morning. But they prayed and she raised her up. Has a picture of him and his mom. That's why God did that for her. Isn't God good, you guys? But more of that's coming. Do you believe that? More of it's coming. But somebody, was she really? You know what? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not. I want to tell you where it was in the end of November. I have a friend. He's in his name's Andre. He has a church in Seattle. First time I preached there, he showed me his phone. It's got a picture of the world, like a world, and all these red lights are coming on Sunday morning. I said, "What's that?" He goes, "That's all the computers that are going to come on, listen to you all around the world," because he's Russian. And his mother's Ukrainian. So his father's Russian, his mother's Ukrainian. This is before COVID. So he's showing me this thing. And he goes, look at the number, 24 million something individual computers, all Russian-speaking people all over the world. And I looked at that and went, he says, they won't all be watching. But I thought of Bob Jones's word. See, I wanted Bob Jones's word. Everybody wanted that. Everybody wanted how many have heard of Bob Jones, prophet? Well, that's the Kelowna, what are the eagle's nest word. But if you actually read it, the last half's all about Russian-speaking people and God using Canadians. For one of the greatest revivals of all time will be among Russian-speaking people, especially young people. Because almost all Ukrainians speak Russian. So I got to travel. I traveled 5 years ago through his ministry. I talked to 500 pastors in Germany, Mannheim. Then I went to Lithuania, talked to 500 pastors. And then all of a sudden, you have a war in the Ukraine. And they invite me to Mannheim again, where they have 350 Ukrainians and 350 Russians all in the same church. It's amazing. Almost all the Russians were girls or young women who escaped, barely. I didn't know who was who in the church. I'm interpreting. And all I could see was this one girl at the back. I could preach, I'd see, and I'd say, listen, what's your name? She said her name. They were interpreting for her. I said, you're not going to lose your inheritance. Your dad and mom have an inheritance. You're not going to lose it. I don't know where you're coming from, who you are, whether you're German, whether you're Russian, but I said, you're not going to lose it. And she's crying. I said, you're not going to lose your inheritance. I said, God is going to keep you. They brought her into the green room, and they told me that this woman, this girl, she's 22, they had just recently bombed their city like in half, and her mom and dad got stuck on the inside, and they can't get out because they're surrounded. She got out by the grace of God, and what they do is the Russians in Germany, they support them. You don't just go anywhere. Because she was a part of that church, they contact somebody, they said, we'll take you in. Isn't it amazing? So you have all sorts of Russians together with Ukrainians all over the everywhere. And then she goes, my parents are in very dangerous area. They can't have church. I don't know if it got blown up or the army said, but they have it, so they have it in a home. And they said, it's very dangerous. Every day they hear the bombs go off. People get shot. People they know are dead. But she said, one thing keeps them going, one picture. And she takes out of her purse a folded up picture. She said, I have one. My dad and mom have one. And this is what keeps them going. And it's a picture of her folks with me and Sammy 5 years ago in Lithuania. And I'm like, what? She goes, yeah, you gave my dad and mom a word and prepared him for this. I'm like, I did? He goes, yeah. And that keeps him going. Listen, I'm telling you, I don't care what you do for the kingdom. Little things, big things, it doesn't matter. Everything's big in the kingdom anyway, even if it's little. Your little amen resounds big. Your little confession of one scripture sounds quiet here. It resounds in heaven. It rings the bells in heaven. Your little act of kindness done in faith because you love Jesus and you love people can get people saved. Look what happened here to my brother. Guys had just decided I'm going to just stand up. My brother saved. I mean, saved. It's not what you take out of meetings like this. It's what you get at a meeting like this and then give away. I said, it's not what you're taking from the meeting. I'm a hog for God. No, it's what you get so that you can give it away and get more. Today is a day of impartation. Even now, today is a day of impartation. God is pouring oil on people, probably the ones that can't be here tonight. He's pouring oil in your head. That's in the Bible. You anoint my head with oil. My cup, what? Overflows. I'm going to say, it's 20 after already. Then I'm just going to do a hootabadumba prayer. So I'm done at 10:30-ish. 10:30. And then the next crew comes in. I'm going to tell, do you like this stuff or no? Yes. It'll change your life. It'll change your life. You don't have to be old. You don't have to be old like me. You can. I'm 67. I'm going to be 60. You can. I don't care if you're 10, 8. This will work. Sammy, did you hear about, how old is he? How old are you? He's not looking. How old? 11. Oh, 12, perfect age. Sammy gets saved when he was 8. I mean, saved. He came and grabbed me. He goes, Dad, I want to be saved. I said, well, we'll pray tomorrow. Because no, I want to be saved right now. So he got saved. But he was in Sylvan Lake. I don't know if you heard about the girl. Oh, you guys. He was in Sylvan Lake. And the member of parliament was there in the front row. But Sammy really doesn't care. He forgets to tell me half the stuff anyway. Or doesn't tell me. And he goes, Dad, I brought Kristen with me. Kaylin there, 8-year-old. So Kaylin's sitting there. Before he prays for the girl, he goes, Kaylin, come here. I want you to see. Now, Kaylin, love the Lord. Ooh, miracles, signs, and wonders will do something for kids. See, Sammy has seen many standing right beside me. He's helped me pray for people that, you know, were complete cripples with bone and skin, and they totally healed. So he's seen those things. Jesus said, if you don't believe me for my words, believe me for the work's sakes. It's very important. It's very important. Works are important. So anyway, he says, come on up. So stand beside me, Kaylin. He calls up this girl. He goes, you've got psoriasis. I think it was on her left arm, I think. So of course, she must have been embarrassed. She was 10 years old. She rolls up her sleeve. She got psoriasis from here to here. So Sammy goes, Dad, I just took her hand. And I just saw the river of life. It was like an ocean. And God said, dip her in. So I had my eyes closed. I dipped her in. And when she came out, the psoriasis disappeared all the way up her arm completely. The whole place went crazy. But Kaylin went, Dad, I want to travel with you everywhere. And she does. We're in Edmonton. She's sitting. I want to go up. I got a word. I said, go up. So Sammy's ministering. How do you know this? You're 8. She's standing there. And all the kids need to come up. And then afterwards, Sammy prayed for him. But one kid didn't come up. Well, I didn't see the one kid. She did. That one girl didn't get prayed. So she sees, right? Then she goes, I got a word. I forget. Three different words for the same person. I can't remember the third one. It's what she says. Type 1 diabetes, and you got a box on your arm. And this woman comes running up, and I look. She's got like this box here by here by here that's in her. So they prayed for her. And I'm getting scared. Listen to an 8-year-old in a good way going, okay. Okay, so here's what I wanted to say about oil and the importance of oil. 10 wise. 5 foolish. What was the difference? They all had oil. They all had oil. But only 5 had extra oil. Why? Because the 5 that didn't have didn't think they would be around long enough to use it or face the level that they'd need that oil for. Because it started running out. Of course, it's the fire, right? No oil, no fire. So I had a dream. I don't tell this very often. I'm telling it on purpose. I know that for this church, this is going to be a very oily church. I'm prophesying. This is going to be a church where the whole church is running over with oil. This is going to be a church that's running over with oil. And when other churches can't deal with stuff, you're not even going to try to deal with it. The oil will deal with it. The anointing will deal with it. So I had a dream. 3 principalities visited me. I have vivid, vivid dreams. First one comes, and we're on these high chairs, like they're high with these round tables. And the first one asked me 3 questions. Can't remember either any of the questions. I just know that when he asked me, I had the answer. He asked me the first one, I had the answer. First one, next. So the next one comes. He asked me 3 questions. These are principalities. They just look like people, but I know the principalities. So the third one asked me 3 questions. I gave him 3 answers, passed the test. He disappears, another one, there's 3. Getting a little bit harder. I can tell, but I can't remember what they were. God often does that, not supposed to. It happened, take it for what it is. Because I'd probably try to figure it out, who knows. He asked me 3 questions. I get through the third, I got that too. And then the devil comes and sits down. You see, what does the devil look like? Exactly what Bobby Connor says he looks like. I didn't even know what Bobby Connor said. John, you ever heard Bobby Connor said he had talked to the devil? He looked like this guy from Spain with black hair, had this black charcoal suit and the whole thing. And I didn't even know Bobby. So he sits there, and I know he's the devil. Didn't look like the devil, but I knew he was the devil. And he had this look of, he's looking at me, asked me a question. He knew I knew, asked me another question. Then he asked me the third question. And that's when his face, he looked at me like, you're done. And when I looked at him, I thought, I'm done. Except something in here came up. And I said these words, no, I have the oil. When I said oil, because my mind was thinking, I should say I have the blood. I have the something, the oil. When I said I had the oil, I can't explain it. The torment on the devil. I saw like thousands of years of torment in his face because he couldn't believe, how does this guy know? How does he know this? That it's the oil that will keep you. And then he disappeared. And I woke up and I'm like, oh, I'm going to remember one thing. No, I got the oil. Let's stand up. I'm going to pray oil over you. Tonight we're going to lay hands and everything can move, can't move. Well, not can't move, but. I want everybody here. Maybe you're coming from way over somewhere. Maybe this is new to you. I'm telling you, get this from God. Get it from God. Because there's a time that you can get the stuff, and there's a time coming where you can't get it anymore. Remember the five that were running out? Said, go to those that buy and sell, but it wasn't enough time. We have time to receive. We have time. Jesus said, buy for me. Gold tried in the fire. We have time tonight, this morning. What is it? I don't even know where we are. I was delayed for 2 days. Here I am. Father, I thank you for the oil. I pray for an oil change. Lord, I want an oil change, not just some new oil. Some of that old oil's getting thick and discolored. We need some fresh oil. You anoint my head with fresh oil. You anoint my head. We want some fresh oil. Fresh oil. The rock poured out oil for me, Job said. Lord, we want that oil coming from the rock, Jesus, to anoint us from the top of our head to the soles of our feet, right onto our children, right onto our babies. If you're pregnant, take that too. We want that oil from heaven. Lord, that oil that burns bright, that oil that'll keep us going, that oil that will drip off us, that oil that terrorizes the devil. And Lord, we thank you for it today. Mess us up today. Mess us up tonight in a good way. In Jesus' name. Don't forget, I got just a few books called Glory Stories, and I'm going to give it back to the El Pastor del Fuego.
Gracias, mi amigo. You know, Charlie said something interesting when we phoned the other day and we're having all these plane issues. He said, you know, the Lord spoke to me about laying hands on people again. And I said, Lord, we've been doing that. That's all. He said, no, you need to lay hands on people again because there's something that I'm beginning to release now that was different than what's before. There's something post-COVID in the spirit that wasn't there before. You guys were here, and I won't take a long time, but that first Sunday on the 8th of January, when I was going to preach on hope, I'd get this great message for the new year, and it was like, here we go. I sat down that morning and looking at my notes at 6 o'clock in the morning, and it just tasted terrible. I was like, I'm not supposed to do this. Well, it's, you know, I've got 35 minutes, and then it's get ready time. And I said, finally, I just said, what? Because I didn't know, and I pushed the thing off. I said, what? And he said, in my heart came up, Acts 2:4. Acts chapter 2. So we got up, then you were here, and we preached that morning about some of these things that were happening and told stories. And we finished the stories and gone for an hour. And if you remember that morning, just there, Lord, and I'm praying the final prayer, and this picture comes up of the altar filled with people. And on the inside, I said, Lord, we got to get out of here and get the second service in. And it came up again. He said, wait a minute. And this is what came up in my heart. He didn't say it, but this came up in my heart. Well, you preach the word about all these supernatural things, about what happens when people get hands laid on. Now do it. In other words, don't tell all the people what can happen and then everybody walks out of the room. And so we laid hands on everybody, and you were here, many of you, that morning, and you know, we went right until 10 after 11. The second service was later and all that kind of stuff. Did the same thing in the second service. We talked about it that week as a staff when we had our pastor's meeting. And there was this sense of, we're not done this. We need to keep doing this. And so as I prayed that week, I thought, okay, let's keep doing that. And for the last 3 weeks, we've laid hands on people every service. Why? And I didn't know. And Charlie, you know, Charlie gets the stuff and he'll get it in the spirit. He goes, he said to me on the phone, oh, the Lord's told me we're supposed to lay hands on people again. I was like, yes. So when you come tonight, believe God for something. Because I knew we were supposed to do this in preparation for him. Now I'm praying, what do we do after he's gone next Sunday when we're, because there's something brewing. So, Father, we just thank you right now. Let's just lift up our hands. We are hungry for more of you. We're hungry for signs and wonders. Everybody in here, we can use blessing and healing. We know people that are really sick that need to be made well. Lord, we're hungry for more of your spirit. We're hungry for your presence. Send the oil, Father. Send the oil and fill this house. Send the oil that we might be filled like the virgins who had the extra oil. We don't have enough. We know there's more and we want more. We want more. We want more. Spring up, oh well. Spring up, oh well of oil. Spring up in this place. Spring up in this place. Just take a minute right now. Just lift your voice and begin to cry out. God, we come to you as a hungry people. We come to you as a thirsty people. We come to you because we know there's more. There's more, there's more, there's more, there's more. And we're crying out. You said hunger and thirst for righteousness. So this morning we let you see our hunger and our desire. Oh, let heaven be poured out in this place. Let the angels come and open up the doors. Let the oil of the Spirit and the fountain of your blessing pour out in this place. Pour it out, Father. Pour it out, pour it out, pour it out, pour it out. We say yes to what heaven is doing in this season. We say yes to what heaven is opening. We say yes to what you're wanting to release. Send it out, Lord. Send it out, Lord. Send it out, Lord. Send it out, Lord. Shakariende. And Father, we pray, even for the second service, may it just go up another notch. And then tonight, Lord, first time we've had a revival service in years, let there be such a grace tonight. Let there be something that switches. I declare something switches in the spirit at the beginning of 2023. A manifestation of your presence, your power, your glory. A manifestation. We hunger for more. We hunger for more. We hunger for more. Oh God. Lord, we pray for Charlie right now. Just with how busy he's been and the traveling, we just pray grace over his body. You strengthen him, Lord God, spirit and soul and body. I know the gift that is in that man. I know the anointing. And as a church, we put a draw upon that. That tonight you might do things that have not been seen in this church before. That have not been heard as you outpour. That have not been known as you come forth. Oh, Shekarabande. Build it up, Lord. Build it up this morning and pour it out tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, it feels good in here. Charlie was quiet this morning, you know, quieter than normal. Maybe we were quieter too. Hallelujah. Well, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you. And bring you back tonight. Yeah. Be blessed, everybody. Have a great day. We'll see you tonight at 6.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for joining us online today. I hope the message encouraged and blessed you. You know, you can stay up to date with all things Southside by following us on social media, downloading our app, or checking out our website at svcf.ca. You can also get to know more about my wife and I by following Times of Refreshing on Facebook and Instagram. And thanks everyone for joining us today in building a community of believers together. Have a great week. And you know what? When you get a chance, come and join us here at the church in Calgary. You'll be blessed by it.